Hello, everybody. I see two people here. Hello, Giovanni, and hi, Kathy.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Kathy, you're coming through pretty good. Your mic's a little low, but you sound good otherwise. A couple of little shortcuts for talking communities. F7 will put you in the user list that you can up and down arrow through. F8 will put you in an edit field where you can type a message. F9 puts you in the message history where you can see what you've typed and what others have typed. And F6 will put you into the browser window, which is just currently pointing to the Blind Geek Zone website at the moment. If you've just installed the client, the control key on the left side will allow you to talk when you hold down on it. You can change that if you like, since it interferes with JAWS. And that's about it.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Your mic is pretty good too. When you hold down on the control key to talk or whatever you set your talk key to, make sure you hold down on it for at least a second before you start talking. Otherwise, you'll tend to get cut off.
Is that better?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Well, I hope we get a few more people in. Once again, we don't seem to have too many people yet, but we still got a few minutes before 2 o'clock. I think next week when I do this, I think we're going to do it in the evening and see how that goes. So far, the Sunday one we did last week, we only had 3 people, and we looked to only have maybe 4 or 5 or 6 this time around, so not sure if it's just the time or just nobody's interested or what.
You know what, Rick? I think it would be great to do it that evening because people are mostly probably off work already at home, just getting settled in at home. So probably I think evening will be a really good time to do it. But I think this is a really good thing. This is great. This is good so we all can, get to talk to each other and probably help out each other in certain ways. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I hope so. Like I said, we're free for the first 30 days. After that, it's going to cost a fair amount of money to run this. So, if people really aren't interested, then, I'm not going to spend a lot of money to keep an empty room running.
Yeah, that's true, especially with this economy, the way this economy is going right now here. So, I completely understand you. I know how to set the hotkey for the talking key, because like you said, Rick, kind of interferes with JAWS, and I try to do certain commands. Sometimes it gets kind of interferes. So, does anyone know how to change it?
Sure do. If you hit your Alt key, go to the Options menu, arrow down to Configure Talk Key, and go in there and change it. Once you do change it, you'll have to exit out of the chat room and come back in for the changes to take effect.
All right, will do. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Hello, this is Jitendra from India, Delhi, and Rick may know me, perhaps. I'm the same person who updated GoldWave scripts, and it's good to be there.
Hey, how are you doing? Yep, I recognize you.
Rick Harmon.
So, how you all are doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's almost night, and it's about two. It's 11:29 in India, night, and I don't know actually the time. How long you spent in the room?
Ah, yeah, it's late there. It's 2 p.m. in the afternoon here. We'll be in the room probably an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half. It depends on how many people show up and how much talking gets done.
Hi, Rick. They're just testing my microphone. The testing the talk key. Am I being heard?
Sure are.
Can you go over once again the shortcut keys for the web conferencing?
Sure. Once you get in the chat room, F7 will take you directly to the user list that you can up and down arrow through. F8 will put you in an edit field where you can type text messages. F9 will take you directly to the history of the text messages that people have typed and the things you've typed. F6 will point you to the browser section of the page, which is currently pointing just at the Blind Geek Zone website right now.
0%, 0%, all right, thank you very much.
Well, sir, according to India, what's the time when room is up?
Well, it's 2 p.m. here right now, just a few minutes after 2 p.m., and I think you said it was 11:29 there, so you're about 9.5 hours ahead of me here.
Yes, sir, we are GMT plus 5:30.
Okay, I'm GMT minus 4 right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's actually great to see you live.
Yeah, it's nice to see some of the people here too that, you know, usually only see an email, you know, on the mailing list. And, you know, I hope a lot more people will show up in other times. Like I said, I don't know if the room is just not really a popular idea or the times are just bad. It's really hard to get a great time set up for everybody. I think next week I'm going to do this later in the evening, my time, which unfortunately that causes problems, you know, for people overseas, you know, especially like you in India, where you're 9 hours ahead of me. So, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to come up with a perfect time for everybody, but we're going to try.
You do your best. That's the good. That's the most important part of it. That's one thing. One great thing about you, Rick, is that you try to, you try your best to accommodate everyone here, and that's greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you. But particularly for me, and there is no problem. Once I know the time when room is open, I shall be there, and I want to see more and more people. Why not all of you are speaking?
16%, 16%, 16%, hey, Rick, 21%. I was just wondering if I'm going to have to be resetting the hotkey every time I log into the room, or can I expect the same hotkey that I set up 100%. To work in the future?
Hotkeys are permanent as long as they're set, you know, as long as you keep the program installed. So once you set it, you don't have to mess with it. If you're curious about the percentages that are getting spoken while you're holding down on your talk key, if you want to turn those off, you can hit Insert V for verbosity. Then hit P until you hear prompts. And you can hit the space bar to toggle that off. And then Tab to OK and hit Enter. That is temporary as long as you're in this room, but that's what's causing that that percentage to be announced all the time. And a lot of people like to turn it off.
0%. Thanks a lot, Rick, because that is kind of annoying. 17%. Thank you very much.
And I'm probably going to do a short tutorial on this at some point, just so everybody knows how to operate the room a little better. There are a few things that you can do to set certain things up, and I'll probably do a short podcast here in a week or so to cover all that. Oh, but again, it looks like we've got about 4 people, so I'm not sure how much we're going to really get accomplished here, but it's good to test the room out. The room seems to be working well. So one other thing I wanted to say, there seems to be a problem with the Talking Communities version 5, which is what we're running here. If you're recording the event, which you can do by going up to the record menu and going to stop and start recording and hit enter and give it a file name. If you're going to record and you're going to do a lot of talking, then the client likes to crash a lot. So that's one thing just to be aware of. I will record all of these and put them up on the website, you know, so you don't necessarily have to record if you don't want to. And right now we don't even have a whole lot to record, so I don't know what we're going to do there. But I do record these on a separate machine, so just wanted to let everybody know that in case you wondered, you know, why you were crashing or whatever, if you were trying to record and participate, you know, talk.
Hey, Rick, I was just wondering also, and that's some, you know, I wasn't planning on recording, but that's good to know, because I was looking at the recording menu, and I, you know, we're going to start it, but now that I know, I might just, you know, just listen and just talk and see what happens. But what are we going to cover as far as, are we going to try to cover anything, do you have anything planned, or was this just, or are we just going to play this by ear?
Well, today was just going to be a general question and answer session, so nothing, you know, dramatic planned. No, I guess whatever anybody wants to talk about, you know, hey, you know, there's only a couple of us here, so I don't know how far it's going to go, but if anybody's got some questions, I guess we can try to go with them.
Actually, yes, one thing. Does anyone know here, does anyone have any experience with iTunes 10? I'm sorry, iTunes 10, not iTunes 10. JAWS 10 with iTunes 8. How to, how to manage what goes on your iPod and what doesn't go on your iPod. Because I know I've been able to, you know, just send my whole library to my iPod, but what if I don't want my whole library on my iPod? What is there a way to manage what goes on to your iPod? Does anyone have an idea how to do that? I'm using JAWS 10 and the latest version of iTunes.
Unfortunately, I'm not using iTunes here, so I can't answer you. There is a podcast on Blind Cool Tech, www.blindcooltech.com. If you do a search for, I think, iTunes on that page, a guy named Chris Gilland, I think, did about a 2-hour demonstration of using JAWS 10 with iTunes 8, and, you know, perhaps he covered that.
Thank you very much. I had one another question. Does anyone know because I know there's a lot of programs out there for antivirus that are not accessible. I've tried a number of them, actually, Norton, stuff like that. It's just not all that accessible. I'm wondering, what do you guys suggest, or Rick, you, or anyone here, suggest to use with JAWS, you know, since a lot of these programs don't work with JAWS, and sometimes even using the JAWS cursor, I'm pretty accomplished at that. I can use the JAWS cursor very well, and know how to click on things and things like that, but I'm wondering, is there, like, a way to, there is some programs who just won't allow that, and I'm just not sure why, but what does anybody recommend? Same for anti-spyware too.
Anybody want to answer that before I give my opinion?
Manny.
This is Kathy. I use Avast and Super anti-spyware. Of course, I got recommendations from Rick, but it seems like a lot of blind people are using the Avast and the Super anti-spyware.
Yep, that's basically what I'm using here, too. I would say, you know, if you like to pay for your antivirus, some people don't like to use the free ones. If you want to pay, I would go with Nod 32. That's by, I think, Esset. That is a real good one. That's probably one of the better ones out there. If you don't mind using the free antiviruses, like Kathy said, Avast works very good. I like that. I prefer it anymore over AVG. It's pretty accessible. You don't have to do very much JAWS cursoring on it. You can do a little bit of JAWS cursoring on it, you know, just to get status information and stuff, but if a dialogue or anything pops up, those are all accessible. You don't have to JAWS cursor the settings. You don't have to JAWS cursor. And it's pretty good. I definitely recommend it anymore over AVG for the free programs. And as far as anti-spyware, like Kathy said, Super Anti-Spyware is a real good one. There's a free version. There's a paid version. I just bought the paid version. It runs in real time while the computer's running, whereas the free version only runs when you scan with it. That's real good. And I'm also using another program, not quite as accessible, but it gets the job done. It's called Malwarebytes. And there's a free version of that. And I believe there's a paid version of that as well. So that's just what I run here. And you can also run even the freebie that comes with Microsoft. You know, if you hit Windows key and R for run dialog, and you type in MRT, that's the Microsoft malicious software removal tool that comes down every month in your automatic updates, that will even, you know, scan for stuff. So, and that's free, and that comes right on your computer every month.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. That's great help, Ben. I'm sorry. Super Anti-Spyware, does anyone know how to... I just downloaded it a couple days ago, and I just wanted to get everybody's opinion on that, if you know, because it seems to have done the job for me. But does anyone know, I'm using Windows Vista, how to navigate the preferences dialog? For some reason, I'm not able to access it, and sometimes I don't want it to scan sometimes at the end or before shutdown. It just drags a lot, so I'm wondering if there's anyone who can help me with that.
I couldn't get that to run either through the program, but, and you'll have to try it. I know from the paid version, if I go down in the system tray and hit my application key and arrow up through the options, you can get into preferences that way, and I didn't have any trouble navigating that part, so I don't know if that's included in the free. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but you could try that route. I did notice that too, that you couldn't get to it through the program when you just ran the program. It wasn't accessible here, and I couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah, that's true. And I would also want to advise other people, you know, why don't we, you know, it seems like me and Rick are the only ones having the conversation here. Why don't we all kind of talk and just give some thoughts to everything and see how, you know, maybe we can start a good conversation on something.
Yep, I agree, but unfortunately there's only two other people here, but I will leave the mic open. If somebody else wants to say something, we can certainly talk about it, but unfortunately we didn't get but four people here again.
Rick, I also think it would be really cool if we did if we did one of your BGZ podcasts through this, and you could just put it up there. Like, if you set up a day, I think that'll also attract more attention. And this also will work as well along with your what we send you as voicemails and things like that. That's also something great. I think it would be good if, you know, we maybe did one of your BGZ podcasts through this, and maybe we can all just make it an open podcast where we all talk about something, you know, hope maybe that'll get more interest on other people.
I would like to say something. In this show of Main Menu, Jimmy Pauls did something on this client. It was not complete though, but maybe of some help. And another question. Yes, I use Regren Reanimator software that is free, though I have unhacked me, so it installs as a part of it. But Reanimator independently is a free software. You may need to use the Oscar source, but I'm working on some scripts. Will be out soon.
Okay, great. I do have a question for you, Jitendra, I think, and hopefully I'm pronouncing your name right. I apologize if I'm not. Are you going to do any more updates with the Goldwave scripts?
Thank you. Well, yes, my name you pronounced correctly. This is, by the way, if we are Hindi speakers, this is called Jitendra, but as we speak English, it will be as Jitendra. Nevertheless, there is one Gold Wave script update in perhaps next month or whenever Gold Wave is out, new version. There shall be some script sets for DirectX plugins that are not accessible, and if something is new in the interface, this will be fixed. But one problem I see is that I'm not able to extract menu IDs, and as I can see that the commands are available to open recent files are not working, so I thought there may be some issues with those menu IDs, but the current version is perhaps not supporting this, or there may be some problems with the WinDig. If you know, please tell me.
Oh, that's great that you're going to do some updates with the scripts. I had heard something about there was going to be a new Gold Wave version out. Is that going to be 6.0? And as far as the last part of your comments, I certainly can't help any there. I don't know much about any of that. I don't do any scripting here right now, so I can't answer that part.
Mm-hmm. So any of you will find any problems with the current versions of scripts, or if any of you know a bit of scripting, I'm finished. Start speaking.
I certainly want to get more into scripting. It's something I want to do here, but I just never have the time to do it, unfortunately. I would like to get involved in the WindowEye scripting myself, but I just really haven't had a lot of time here to do it myself. So, but, you know, hey, glad people like you are out there, you know, doing some of these scripts, you know, because they're really, really helpful.
Yeah, this is Giovanni speaking. By the way, the Trento, thanks a lot. I see you're sending me the link to the iTunes podcast. I do appreciate it. I'm sorry if I pronounced your name wrong again. I'm sorry. It's just... does anyone have a good tutorial where they can lead me to a good tutorial for scripting with JAWS? I know that there's a tutorial that comes with it that I can read, but I would rather have maybe a demonstration, like an audio demonstration as to how to script with JAWS. Does anyone know of a such tutorial?
Good question. Well, I'm not perfect in scripting, and especially when dealing with objects, but why don't we start there in the room itself?
Jitendra, I didn't catch the last part of what did you say? I'm sorry. Can you repeat yourself if you don't mind?
Okay, I proposed one thing. This may or may not be acceptable for any or all of you. Whenever we stop speaking before lifting the control key or whatever, unlocking it, we should indicate by any means, so other person is not get delayed while speaking. And the last part of my conversation was, why don't we start in the room now or whenever we come again for the scripting itself? Over.
Great idea, Jitendra. Sometimes I think people don't know when you're going to be done speaking. That's a great idea. I definitely don't mind doing that. That's a really good idea. Why don't we do that? If we can maybe use your experience, who can kind of teach us how to script, I think that'll be great if Rick will allow it. I think that'll be something wonderful to do. Over.
Yeah, I would love to. So ask me whenever actually you want to learn whatever I have learned myself, and it's a pleasure. If there are many people willing to, then it's really good. Over.
That's a great idea. I will certainly open that up. I will put a message out on the Blind Geek Zone mailing list indicating that you're willing to hold a session on scripting. What I would do is I would allow you to host that at your time of choosing. And whoever wants to attend, you know, certainly could come in to the room. The room's open 24/7. And if somebody would like to host something like that, I'm certainly open for it. Over.
Thank you. Well, I know room is open 24/7 because this is my fifth attempt when I found you all. Otherwise, other four times from the whole day, there was no one except me in the room. And other thing is, sometimes I get hurt when I write any sort of new scripts and I don't get any feedback. For instance, recently we wrote some scripts for Delta Panel sound card driver, and we did not receive any feedback, and we have no idea whether we should develop those scripts anymore or not. Anyways, maybe there is something positive that scripts may be working properly for people and they don't want to say anything about that. Over.
Hi, it's me, Giovanni, speaking again. Jitendra, I completely understand, especially when you spend so much time writing scripts. And you know, at least for my part, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but, and I'm pretty sure Rick, if you give us some scripts, we will definitely thank you and give you feedback as to what you've done. And is there a website we can go to for you so we can get some of your scripts? So what other scripts have you done? Over.
Yeah, the website is, most of our scripts are actually found on the Blind Geek Zone website itself. By the way, for updates, you can go to www.ultrauniverse.co.cc. There you have a contact page, JavaScript page, and a programs page. And for your convenience, they are assigned with Alt plus those letter keys. Over.
Feedback Zoom.
This is Kathy. Could I ask a dumb question? I have no idea what scripts are. I know I've been to the JAWS homepage where you can download programs and download scripts. I know nothing about this. Could somebody maybe clarify some of this for me?
This is Giovanni. I can give you a little bit of an explanation. Maybe Jitendra and Rick can help once I finish. When you first install, I guess the way I'm going to say it, and if someone wants to correct me, please do so. When you install JAWS, JAWS supports, you know, programs and, you know, things like that. You know, and sometimes you get these little programs, or you get programs that just don't work with JAWS, and you have to write scripts. And I would think of scripts the way they describe it too at the Freedom Scientific is basically like small computer programs to make those applications, those programs that don't work with JAWS actually work.
Exactly. That's what scripts are. Scripts are basically add-ons to JAWS or add-ons to WindowEyes, you know, whichever you may be running, since WindowEyes now supports scripting as well. Scripts are simply add-on programs to the screen reader that allow it to work with programs that it isn't designed to work with for some reason or another. And you can get them a lot of places, and a lot of people are doing them. And generally, they're very helpful. Trying to remember what else I was going to say. Over.
So when you download a script for a certain application, where does that actually go?
Depends on if you... Well, I believe from JAWS 6, Rick, or someone correct me, and higher. It's either JAWS 6 or 7, higher. First of all, some of the scripts come with an installer package, which when you run the installer, it'll automatically install to where they need to go. Or it'll automatically put the scripts where they need to be, so that JAWS will recognize them. And if not, God, I wish I could demonstrate this. Rick, maybe you could help. Maybe is there a way I can, you know, hold down my record key and demonstrate this as I do it. But there is, if you go to your start menu, and you go to all programs, and then you go to JAWS, whichever version you have, and I believe it's tools, or explore submenu, and then you would go into your personal settings, and then you would place them there.
Correct. That's the easiest way to do it. JAWS 6 and up. Basically, all the scripts go into, if you just want to do it, I guess, manually, they go into the C drive, you know, wherever your Windows is installed, to / documents and settings, the username, which in your case would be, I guess, Kathy, probably. And then you would go into application data, then Freedom Scientific, then JAWS, then the version number, and then settings, and E and U. And that's where the scripts go. But like Giovanni said, the easiest way by far is just simply go into programs, find your JAWS version, go to tools, and like he said, I believe it's the first one, explore. And then again, I believe it's the first option, your settings. And that will take you directly to that folder. Fortunately, a lot of the scripts anymore will come with an installer. And you can run that installer and it will put them exactly where they belong. Because that's pretty tedious for a lot of people. But hopefully that helps. Over.
Would love to add one thing. If you find scripts that are not come with installer, I can make it for you. I would love to make installers, though all of scripts written by me come with both options, with installers and zip archive. If one of you have visited the site now, as I have sent the URL, you may have seen those things there. Over.
Yeah, thank you for that link. I will. This is going to be posted as a podcast up on the website, and I will try to remember to add that link into the links section under somewhere. But I appreciate that link a lot, and. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to comment when you said about, you know, maybe hurt feelings about not getting comments. I guess the best thing I could say there is what I like to say is no news is good news. So hopefully, you know, because I don't generally comment on a lot of things myself. You know, I'll put them on the podcast and stuff, you know, like I did your scripts. But, you know, unless there's a bug or something, I generally don't comment a whole lot further. And hopefully that's what everybody else is doing too. You know, they've downloaded your scripts, they've liked them. But, you know, I agree with you. It's nice to get comments on them. And, you know, I try to acknowledge, you know, scripts when I use them. So, but I will put this up on the website for others to see. And, you know, hopefully that will help others.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, well.
This is Kathy. I do understand now about the scripts, and I appreciate the explanation. And I am familiar a little bit with the JAWS personal settings and stuff. So, thank you.
Not a problem. And Jitendra, do you mind sending me your email? I would like to contact you on something.
Yeah, sure. So, what do you suggest? Shall I give it for all or for him personally?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I didn't quite catch you. I do apologize. Can you repeat yourself again?
No, I asked our moderator, shall I give you the ID personally or for all of the participants. Over.
I really don't mind. It's up to you. I mean, if you don't mind your email getting out, I mean, I think, you know, we would all contact you. Maybe I'm going to start using your scripts as far as, you know, and I think you do a good job, and it seems like you know a lot about scripting. But, yeah, sure, if you want to just, Rick, do you mind, since this is your room, you know, if he just gives his email out to all of us here?
No, that's not a problem at all. Actually, a couple months ago, I had an individual contact me that was looking for Jitendra. His email address in the Goldwave scripts didn't work any longer for some reason. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. Thanks. Over.
Okay, here it is. I hope you got it. Over.
You want to say that verbally as well for anybody listening, if you don't mind? Not everybody will have access, or well, actually, nobody will have access to the chat text except us here. So you want to give that out so people listening can hear it?
Yeah, sure. It's a pleasure. But as it was a bit complicated, that's why I typed it. It's jeet.invincible, JEET dot INVINCIBLE at gmail.com. That is Jeet, JEET dot INVINCIBLE. Well, feel free to contact me for anything. As I always say in the readme, and once I recorded one podcast on Goldwave Scripts version 1.57. Anyways, that was a long back. Over.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Yeah, I know it's a complicated email address, but I wanted to make sure that anybody listening to this that wanted to contact you would be able to do so, because the chat text here won't be available to people just listening to the podcast. But, all right. Well, do we have any other comments or questions? I guess we could go on for a little while longer if everybody wants to. Otherwise, I think we'll wrap it up here at the top of the hour.
This is me, Giovanni. Rick, actually, I would like to maybe ask you here, maybe you can show me how to figure out. I had asked you a question on your podcast that said, how do I get Goldwave to respond to me when I do recordings? I want to do podcasts and also send them to you so you can post them on your site. I did one on Malwarebytes that I want to send to you. I think that'll give the users a good explanation as to how the screen layout and everything is like that. You asked me, because you said something about you weren't sure what kind of sound card I'm using, and I was wondering, how do you find out? I mean, I managed to get the recording done, but unfortunately, I have to boost up my speaker so loud to get Jaws to come up on the recording, and sometimes the speakers can be kind of aggravating since I have a little woofer here, and it kind of, you know, makes a lot of sound. But how do we fix that?
Well, there's no short answer, unfortunately, and like I said, unfortunately, that depends on your sound card. You can get your sound card information in Device Manager under System, and that'll identify it. If you have a card like I do here, the Creative Labs series, Odyssey, things like that, you have the ability to record more than one source at a time, and that's what I do on my podcast, where you hear Jaws speaking. That is actually being recorded by the sound card. I used to do like you are currently doing, where you just tried to get the microphone to pick up your voice and the speakers at the same time. And, you get less than optimal recordings that way. I mean, you can do okay, but like you said, it's hard to get Jaws to pick up and get you to pick up at the same time real good. Other sound cards have the ability as well. If you're using something like a Realtek HD card, you know, a built-in integrated to your motherboard. A lot of those use those. There's a setting called Stereo Mix that can be activated. I'm not sure how I can give you a short answer here. What I would recommend is, I know you said you were working with Vista, so what I would recommend you to do is go to the website, go to the audio page, and look for the recording that I did. There was one I did on Tech Talk that was called Goldwave and Vista. And down in one of the BGZ podcasts, it was somewhere around BGZ 20, I did a discussion in there about recording with Vista as well, and I went through a lot of this. I'm on an XP machine here right now, so I can't, you know, duplicate the settings that would be required here to answer your question. Over.
Well, sorry as I picked the mic up, but I have a Realtek sound card and want to know. Well, if you remember, once I shared a blog called techinfo.co.in on PlantGeekZone mailing list, I did a review for some software called Indie Volume. That was very accessible software. It was able to reduce or loud the volume up for the selected software. There was a tree view where uTorrent, JAWS for Windows, and every software that was running was located, and then if you hit tab after selecting the software, there were sliders and checkboxes for mute and volume up and down. So I want some sort of similar software for recording that detects applications that are running and can record volume particularly from those applications, or something similar to record this or any other podcasts I'm about to. But before you ask, I will reply. For Goldwave podcast, I first recorded my own voice for some 15 minutes and then stereo mixed and then mixed them up. That took me 1.5 hours or more, perhaps, all that mixing and editing. That was a bit painful. So if you have something recommended, settings or whatever, feel free to please mail me if you don't have time on room particularly. Over.
Yes, Rick, I'm actually using a Realtek high definition audio codec from what it says here, something like that. And I actually listened to your podcast, and I went to, I think, under sound and then system, but the only recording option I see is the microphone. And I'm not sure, you said something about, you know, a mixer or something like that. Yeah, because my sound card is built into the, I have a laptop, a Gateway MX3417 laptop, and running Vista Ultimate. I was running XP before, but I decided to upgrade. I said, you know, might as well do it. 7's going to be coming out soon, so might as well get used to Vista. And by the way, you know, great job on the commenting great job on doing your Windows 7 podcast. They were very, very, very good and very useful. And let me know what you think. Thanks a lot. Over.
Okay, I'll try to go off the top of my head here, which sometimes is difficult. on the Vista, go to Control Panel, then Sounds. In the Recording tab, go to your list of devices, hit your application key there, arrow up to Show Disabled Devices, and hit Enter on that. And there's another one you can hit Enter on that's not, it's Show Disabled Devices or something like that. There's two of them. And if you check both of those, you'll get some more options in that list of devices that Vista typically tends to hide. And Stereo Mix is one of them. if you arrow down to stereo mix, once you see it and you tab around there in the recording section, you should see a set default or set as default. You can hit that button. Then once you go into Gold Wave and you do your F11, go to the devices tab, you should be able to tab down in there to the recording area and select the device's stereo mix for the recording source. Then in the F11, go to the volume tab. Tab around till you find the volume levels for the stereo mix and the checkbox to select it. Make sure that checkbox is selected. Then try to do a recording. And if it works right, if your drivers are updated enough and, you know, everything in Vista is happy, you should be able to hear your voice. And if you, while you're doing that recording, you know, do some stuff with JAWS and then play it back and see if you can hear everything. One of the problems I've had with stereo mix on Vista with the HD, the Realtek HD cards, is I couldn't get the microphone to pick up. So hopefully you'll have better luck with it, but that's just off the top of my head, and hopefully that'll help you a little bit. And Jitendra, you said you record your voice first, and then you do another recording with the JAWS stuff, and then you mix those together. How do you get those synchronized properly?
Yeah, that involves lots of cutting and pasting thing. We have two test files and third open blank sound files. There we do cutting and pasting like those text files. But because of those scripts and that easy Gold Wave, I was able to do that. And apart from that, as you said, you were not able to pick up your mic with Stereo Mix. This is the same problem we find there with this XP machine in Realtek. If we check Stereo Mix box, mic is muted or whatever you can say, it does not pick it. And if we check or select the mic box, JAWS is not picked up. Over.
Exactly. That's the problem I have in Vista. And the big problem with the Realtek is it has its own little control panel for sound, and it's not very accessible. Fortunately, on my end here with my SoundBlaster Audigy card, I can just do this all through Windows Mixer, you know, Sound VOL 32 and XP or Sound VOL and or SND VOL, that is, in Vista. And, you know, I can unmute the mic and everything on the playback, and it's the playback that you need to unmute the mic to pick up your voice. That works good here, but yeah, that's exactly the problem I had on the Vista machine, is you could either pick up the JAWS voice or you could pick up the microphone voice, and but others have said they've got it to work. The big problem for me is, like you said, the Realtek sound control panel that they use really isn't very accessible.
Well, I reclassified few window classes on Realtek, and JAWS reads them properly now, but where it fails on the sliders, there are no values even written for a sighted person, what I can think, because I set once my screen echo to all and then increased and decreased those values, and there was nothing in the buffer to speak for JAWS. So I assume there are no values written for a sighted person, and he or she can just see where a knob is going on. That's why they are notified for the values. Otherwise, that config file reads well with those combo boxes, detect sliders, buttons, though some buttons are unlabeled, but I reclassified them over.
God, it's me, Giovanni, again. Jitendra, that's, you know, proud of you. You know a lot about how to do things, and Yeah, I can understand that. It could be a lot of paint, a lot of work, a lot of cutting and paste, copy, cutting and pasting into recordings. But yeah, Rick, thanks a lot for your information. I believe I tried. I think there's two. It says show all devices and show disabled devices. I think that there is two options. I've tried both of those, and for some reason, I still can't see. I only seem to get my microphone settings, but. And maybe, Adam was wondering, maybe would it be possible if you can email me what you just said? It was rather long instructions. I just, you know, for me to keep that in my head is just a little hard. I mean, if it's not possible, I'll go back, and when you post the recording, I'll listen to it again. It's no big deal. I was wondering if, that was possible. As far as, and one other question I have for you. I'm not sure if you're able to answer this, but you have, I see you upgraded to Windows 7. How do you install Windows by yourself? Because I've had a couple people come to me and I've had to fix their computers or whatever, and sometimes it's been gotten to the point where I've had to reinstall their whole system, and I've always needed sighted help. And sometimes, I know there's a Windows unattended installation for XP or something like that. But what if we come to Vista or something like that? I'm still a little confused. How does that, how are you able to do that? How did you manage to get Windows 7 or even Vista on your machine? Let me know. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I'll try to answer that. The first part, if you can't see Stereo Mix in that list still, even after checking both of those boxes, and you're right, what you said was correct, if you still don't see it, then you're going to need to update your software, your sound card drivers. You've got to be very careful doing that because you can lose JAWS in the process while you're doing that update. So be careful doing that. But that's what it sounds like, is you don't have a current enough Vista sound card driver, and that option's not being shown. So, I don't know if I can email those instructions. I'll try. Let me see what I can find out, and I'll email some of that to you if I can. Second part, unattended installs. Well, I do need sighted assistance on installs a lot of the time, especially from scratch. I can do an unattended install with XP to some extent. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. Haven't had any luck since Service Pack 3 came out. So I do have to get sighted assistance myself here. The way I've done it on my machine is, if you had XP already installed, you can put your Vista disk in, and you can get JAWS to speak the first part of the install, enough of the install to get you going. Same with Windows 7 on the Vista machine. I had Vista running. I could stick the Windows 7 CD in and install from it and have Vista, you know, JAWS speak the first part of the installation and get me going enough. But like you said, from scratch, very difficult. Two things you could look up if you're game. Nlite, N-L-I-T-E. You can Google that. That is an XP unattended installer that you can configure to build a XP disk with the proper drivers and everything on it. For Vista, you can try Vlite. V-L-I-T-E. You can Google that as well. Same procedure creates a Vista unattended install. I've not played with either one much. I'm not real good at them. You might have better luck. But those are my suggestions for doing unattended installs. And other than that, like you said, sometimes you just have to get sighted assistance. Over.
Thank you for that help. That's greatly appreciated. I just wish they would come up with something. to, you know, help us during the installation. I'm sure there probably is a way where we could include some kind of speech into their, like, the XP or the Vista CDs, where we can, you know, but then if you don't have no drivers installed, then you just can't do it. But, and as far as my sound drivers, where can I, how do I update my drivers? I mean, I sometimes have sighted assistance in case I do lose JAWS, and do you think I'll have to reinstall JAWS if I lose JAWS in the process of updating the drivers? And like I said, where do I, where, how can I update the drivers for my sound card? Over.
Okay. If you go into System, go into Device Manager, select your Realtek device in there, hit enter on it. A dialog box will come up, a multi-tabbed dialog box will come up. If you go to the device drivers section of it and tab in there, you should hear an update option. And you can try going through there and it will go out and look for an update. I'm not sure what the Realtek address is on the web. Might have to Google that a little bit. If that don't work, you know, going through Device Manager. You won't have to install JAWS. All I'm saying is during the install process on the sound drivers, JAWS will temporarily stop speaking because it doesn't have a device configured to talk through. Once the installation of the new sound card driver is complete, JAWS will start talking again. It's just through that process. If there's any questions that have to be answered while JAWS isn't speaking, you might have to have somebody help you. Hope that provides you with enough information. Over.
Yes, it does. Thanks a lot. And, well, you said you haven't used them, but V-Lite and N-Lite installations, the programs, does anyone know how accessible they are? And, yeah, thanks a lot, Rick. You've been good help. And maybe a second part of my question, do you know of a program that I can, you know, use to burn DVDs to play on a DVD player? I remember you said on the answer to my question that with Nero it was very complicated to make a DVD playable in a DVD player because you needed some kind of other program, you said, to like write the image of it and things like that. So I was just wondering if you knew of any program that will do it.
N-Lite and V-Lite are reasonably accessible. I think you might have to do some JAWS cursoring on them. On Blind Cool Tech, quite a while back, I can't remember how far back, but somebody did a review of N-Lite, I believe. I think it was last year. And I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately. But that might give you some help. But it's usable. I just had some difficulty. It's been a long time. It's been about a year or two, and maybe I just wasn't as good at JAWS cursoring back then. But I haven't tried it lately. As far as burning DVDs, you know, I haven't done it in a long time. Actually, I used to do that when I was sighted, and I used a program called Sonic My DVD. Unfortunately, my DVD isn't accessible. There may be other programs out there. Nero won't do it itself. What I was talking about is, you know, most things you do on Nero, you just drag a file into the thing that, you know, where you want to burn, and, you know, Nero does all the work for you. Well, Nero won't do all the work for you on a DVD if you drag a video file to the compilation list and say, okay, make me a DVD. Nero won't do that. Nero expects you to already have the maps of it built out. You know, like if you took a DVD and you put it in your computer and you used Explorer to look at it, you'd see a video TS folder and you'd see an audio TS folder, and these have a bunch of information inside of them. that has the contents of the DVD. Nero expects you to already have your information in that format to burn it. Other programs will take just your video file and drag it in, and it will make all that for you. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you. Like I said, I haven't done it in a long time, and I just really don't know.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. I had one more question before I know I've been talking a lot here, but there's a lot of information that I'm looking for. How do you, when you do, because I noticed what you do is, for your podcasts, you, excuse me, you add an introduction to your podcast, and I'm trying to figure out a way to do that where I can make an introduction to make it more professional. Make it more professional, the recordings. How do you go about, adding an introduction to your podcast?
With the background music. Well, what I do is I use Goldwave to do that. I record the intro just in voice. Then I have a little music clip that I have, and I use the mix feature in the edit menu to have Goldwave mix that audio in with my voice. It works pretty good. It's not too hard to use. And that's basically what I do here. All right, well, it's about 5 after the hour here, and I wanted to see if any of the other participants had a few more questions. And if not, I guess what we'll do is we'll wrap this up. We didn't have too many people showed up, but hey, everybody that showed up here had lots of questions, and I do appreciate that. So let's see if Kathy or Jitendra or anybody else that showed up has any questions, and then we'll wrap it up.
Is Windows 7, is that the next, I don't want to say operating system, or is that an upgrade from Vista?
That is the Microsoft's next operating system. That's after Vista. I guess they decided to do it so quickly because Vista was having a lot of bugs and things like that. So yes, that is going to be the next operating system to come from Microsoft.
Right, that is the next OS that Microsoft is currently working on. It's currently in beta. A release candidate may be released next month. What a release candidate is it's the final version before it actually goes into manufacturing for the public. And there are rumors that is expected to happen around September. So expect to see Windows 7 out on the shelves for purchase late this year, definitely before Christmas. And I'm really wondering if it'll be actually by the school season. But if you want to listen to a little bit about Windows 7, I did 3 recordings that are up on the Blind Geek Zone. They're also on Blind Cool Tech. They're entitled Windows 7 First Looks, Part 1, 2, and 3. And they give you a look at Windows 7 using JAWS. If you're interested, it looks very much like Vista. You won't see a whole lot of differences. Basically, it just runs faster, uses a lot less memory, runs on slower machines than is currently possible with Vista today.
Yes, Rick, that's a good point. And I know, maybe you don't know much about this, but I know Microsoft also released Internet Explorer 8 this past Friday, I think, and I was wondering, do you recommend upgrading to 8 or sticking with 7? What are your thoughts on that, or anybody's thoughts? Jitendra or Kathy, I'm sorry, is that your name? I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing you saying your name wrong, but is that, should I do that, or should I wait until, I'm not sure, what do you think, or should I just stay with 7 for the time being?
sorry, my talk key was disabled. My mistake. By the way, I did not able to understand your question, or perhaps I've missed something in while I was enabling the talk key. Though it was very simple, just I pressed Alt D and it came back. Anyways, repeat again, please. Over.
Alright, that's alright, Jitendra. I was asking you and Rick, or if anyone else in here knows. I know Microsoft just released Internet Explorer 8, which is the newer version of Internet Explorer. Should I upgrade to Internet Explorer 8 or stick to 7 for accessibility purposes? I'm just wondering what anyone's thoughts are, or should I stay with 7 for the time being now?
Mm-hmm. If you ask me particularly, I use Firefox for almost all of my browsing needs, and if you say for Internet Explorer, I don't even sometimes it happens that it's just open once in 2-3 months for me, but it's if Rick has tried it, maybe able to suggest something. But if you don't need much features, or if you have read some what's new and all that, and if you need them, then upgrade. Otherwise, stick to 7. Over.
I did upgrade to IE8 when it came out on Friday here, and I haven't noticed any problems with it. It is a lot faster than IE7. It is supposed to be much more secure. That's not as much of an issue on Vista, since IE runs in protected mode anyways. I've been using Firefox here as of late too, just to see how it works, and I've been very impressed with it, running 3.07 of Firefox here. And I've actually liked it. But IE8 runs fine, at least with JAWS 10. I'm not sure about versions prior to that. I don't know about that right now. But it certainly won't hurt anything if you want to upgrade to it. And if you don't like it, you can downgrade back to IE7. It will be coming out in automatic updates here next month. So one way or another, it's going to try and get you to use it. And I hope that helps, but I didn't have any problems here so far. Over.
Okay, before we all leave, I would share two particular things with you all. One is, if you are using JAWS version below 10, so you can copy those scripts for this particular program web conference plugin if you need them explicitly, that I did just, and they are working. Another thing is, if one or all of you love that RSS style in Internet Explorer with those descriptions and all that, and you've used Firefox and you know that all the RSS feeds in Firefox and with items are only in menus and no descriptions, I found recently one add-on called Sage 2, S-A-G-E, and then something T-O perhaps, or it was number 2, I forgot, but I suspect it's 2 T-O. Anyways, that creates one HTML, say this is a sidebar, it has one tree view, and there are feeds. If you press enter on one feed, then HTML page is loaded with those descriptions and links to those items particularly, and some SBM link to share it with some social bookmarking things like Furl or whatever. Hope this helps. Over.
Hi, Rick and Jitendra. That was great help. I used Firefox for a while and I liked it a lot too, but I noticed I was having some JAWS problems, some JAWS issues with navigating, like, I guess in and out of forms mode. I was kind of getting stuck in places. I don't know if anyone has an idea as to why that happens. That's why I quit Firefox, because I was just having a lot of problems with it, you know, locking up in performance mode or something like that. I just don't know. I'm not understanding why that would happen. And just for purposes of anyone interested, as far as Internet Explorer 8, I used a beta, and I will let you guys know that you must be running JAWS 9, the latest build of JAWS 9. I read that somewhere on the Microsoft website. You must be running the latest version of JAWS 9.0. I think it's 0.2169 in order for the unit to consider upgrading to 8. Just in case if anyone wants to know. Over.
I don't know how much time is left for this room to close. But anyways, what I know will share with you. I don't have any such issues as of forms mode. I had one issue, that was some sort of focus issue or something. I call it, by the way, lost focus or whatever. Virtual cursor remains active. There are no links, no text in the virtual buffer. When we use JAWS cursor, we are able to find links, able to click them. And even if we do a tab or whatever, things are not resolved. And we need to reload Firefox, for instance, things to work. This is one thing. Other thing is, there are several browsers that are not scripted, but they are accessible. This could be a long topic if we gonna discuss it, but I will brief it for you. And that's why some information may be not complete or may have missed. Anyways, things like those green browser, Maxton, and some other browsers, they are because of there is something called Trident web rendering engine. This is developed by Microsoft. This is a shared engine that works on COM technology. So because of that COM technology, JAWS is able to get information about the document, links, pages, frames and all that. That's why it remains accessible. And there are several components of a browser, particularly if you say one is HTML engine and other is interface, front end, that is menu bars, toolbars and several other things. In case of Internet Explorer, there is some file called browseui.dll. This is the interface, and one file is mshtml.dll. This is the Trident web rendering engine. So there are there is some file called virtual.jsb that has statements like there are object variables and statements like say there is some variable called object page. So the statement would be let page equals document dot length or something. So this returns the length of the document or other things. But in case of Firefox, either API is not available or Freedom Scientific may not be working with the Mozilla. But Firefox is based on Gecko HTML rendering engine. This is more standard compliant, recommended by W3 schools. So there may be some problems, but IE and other browsers who share HTML.dll, like those user account, all those CHM help files, green browser, there are some other browser, Winamp's mini browsers that are accessible. And there is one line in your default script file called use virtual.jsb. Wherever this file is shared and application is not accessible, you can just include this line, and this part of the application which shares this file may become accessible. Hope this clears up few things. Over.
Jitendra, thanks a lot. As far as a Firefox, yes, I meant, that's exactly what I meant. I didn't mean how did I confuse that with forms mode? I confused it. Yes, I was having a lot of focus problems. And I'm not sure how much time, like you said, is left. Maybe we can go into depth as to discuss browsers and things like that. I'm not sure if, you know, there's enough time for that, or maybe Rick can set up another conference. I also wanted to ask Rick if I could host the Open Book 8.0 session pretty soon. That's pretty much it. But do you have the, I guess, you know, and I never had the focus issues with Internet Explorer, but, you know, I liked Firefox a lot for its speed and its, you know, and its ARIA support for Gmail works wonderfully with JAWS 10. But the focus problems is just, I don't know, it just bothered me, so I switched over to IE again. Over.
As far as those focus issues, I've noticed a lot of that in IE myself. One thing you can try is hit Insert Escape. That will refresh the screen. A lot of times that'll allow you to start moving around again. Also, I've noticed here with JAWS, sometimes I'll have to hit Insert Z, which is a toggle, for a navigation mode. Sometimes turning that off and back on will get you unstuck in a form. And if that all fails, with JAWS, try Insert Control Escape. And that will reinitialize the scripts. Usually if you just hit Insert Escape to refresh the window, a lot of times you're okay. And it won't be stuck anymore. But I've noticed that in IE as well. So that's really not a Firefox issue. That's, you know, that's just whatever. And I think with the later versions, like the 3.06 or 07 that's out now, I think you'll have less problems with JAWS because it works a lot better with it. And as far as a lengthy browser discussion, I think we're about out of time today, but we certainly could do that some other time. You know, Jitendra wants to maybe do that. As far as hosting an open book, that would be fine. I would say announce it on the Blind Geek Zone list when you intend to do it. And then that way people can, you know, go to it. You know, I would let you handle that. But that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. All right. Let's see if there's a couple more questions from anybody else. And then we'll wrap this up. It's about halfway past the hour here. And I'd like to get this wrapped up and then get it out to podcast.
How do I subscribe to the Blank Geek Zone list? I'm not familiar. I've always wanted to join the Blank Geek Zone list or something like that. I'm not very familiar on, you know, how do I subscribe to lists. Maybe you can help me with that. You know, see if you can do that for me. And thanks for the help on Internet on the, you know, focus problems. And then I will, you know, if I can, once I subscribe to the list, I can definitely post my, the date when I want to do this Open Book 8.0 demonstration. Over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anybody that wants to join, and I think everybody here except possibly you is already on the list. It's a Yahoo Groups list. All you have to do to join it is send an email message, a blank email message, to blindgeekzone, BLINDGEEKZONE, - subscribe, SUBSCRIBE, @ yahoogroups.com. You'll get a message back wanting you to go out to the website and do all the stuff it wants you to do. Or you can just simply send a blank reply back to the email message and you'll be subscribed to the list. It's just simply an email list where a bunch of people are on that, you know, we send messages back and forth to each other, answer questions and stuff. So that's how you do that if you want to get joined. And, all right, let's see if anybody else has anything.
Well, I was telling something about my browsers now. I would like to just say one sentence. Just press F6 key and then see virtual cursor is active even though this client is not scripted. This means, this proves what I've said. And if you turn your homebrew modes on with the insert space and press F3 until you hear something called owner application and then hit F1, you will hear mshtml.dll. over.
Yes, Rick, one last thing. I know you're trying to close this out already. I do apologize, but is there, because it's a rather lengthy email address, is there a way I can get it on your site? Do you have it posted on your site where I can, or do you have the information posted on the site where you can, where I can get that information for the list? And I'm planning on doing that in the next couple of days, so I will try to get online and post and get myself a subscribed so that I can post it to everyone. Over.
Yes, that's on the mailing list page of the website. You can find it there. If you can't get to it through there for whatever reason, just email me off list and I'll send you the information. And Jitender, thanks for all that. It's probably went over everybody's heads, but I do thank you for the information. It was interesting to listen to. I didn't quite understand all of it because I don't get that much into scripting, but it was interesting anyways. All right, one or two more questions here, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, Chandra, thanks a lot as well for that. And I think that maybe once we get into the scripting session here, that Chandra will hopefully do, I think he can probably explain all of that for us. So thanks a lot, Chandra, and, you know, thank you, Rick, for giving us the opportunity to come here and to talk, instead of just, you know, emailing you, sending you voicemail through Skype or emailing you. I think that would be great. And I was wondering if it was possible if I send you a SendSpace email with a podcast I want you to put up. Would you be kind and post it on your site? Let me know if that's possible. Thanks a lot. And like I said, thanks again, Rick, for hosting this, and we will hope to do this once again. Over.
Yeah, you're correct, man. Credit goes to Rick. I would like to say one thing, only one thing. I have no more questions. Whenever you host next time, please either provide whenever you write timer, do write one line, whether it's GMT time or your own time or whatever, so I can calculate and come again. Thank you. Over.
I think this was a good session, Rick. Even though there's only four of us here, I think what you're doing is really good because there is a lot of us that have computer questions, and it's kind of neat to interact with each other and to share with each other, and it's a good way to meet different people. So I think you're doing a great job, and I'm glad I came and I was a part of this, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Well, thanks, everybody. I enjoy doing this. I'm always looking for new ways to interact with everybody through the website. And I thought this would be a good idea, and hopefully we'll be able to keep doing it. Jitendra, are you on the Blind Geek Zone mailing list? If so, you could send an email message to it announcing when you would like to host a scripting chat. Otherwise, you could send an email to me, if not, and then I can forward it to the list. But I thought you were on the list. Yeah, is that correct?
Well, I don't know if you forgot and how, but I'm on the list, and that's where I got this room ID from. Anyways, I would love to whenever, but I don't know what time I should pick, because I need to do some little bells. I don't know. I'm room, but it's some 12:45 night in my ID. Anyways, you just mail the list and see the response. And if they are people interested, then tell me the steps to do or whatever necessary. I'm on the list. Over.
Okay, you broke up pretty badly there. I did catch the end of it where you asked me to email a list to get a response. I'll be more than happy to do that. Most of the rest of it broke up pretty badly here for some reason. It was real choppy. If you would want to repeat.
I don't know what was broken, and if it happens again, it's very bad. Wait, I will close my browser down.
Better, Jitendra, you sound much better now. Try that again.
Now I've closed Firefox. This may be doing some RSS updates or some other things. Well, I said as I'm GFT plus 530, I don't know what time is for other people. If I choose 4 p.m. or 2 p.m. or some 5 p.m., there will be night or day or whatever. So that's why what I want is people to come, and no matter what time is it for me. Say I'm in the room this time, and this is some this is 12:50 a.m. night in my city. But I would love to come if people are there. Over.
Okay, well, I will definitely put a message out on the email list stating that you're interested in having a session here for scripting, and then we'll see what the response is. As far as times, that's your decision. You know, people will either show up or they won't, unfortunately. Like I said with myself, timing's hard to pick, you know, to make everybody happy. So I wouldn't worry about that too much, but, you know, just do what you think is best. But, yeah, I'll send a message out and see what people think. All right, well, unless anybody else has anything else, I'll wrap this up. I'll open the mic. Anybody wants to say anything, or another couple of minutes, and then beyond that, I'm going to wrap it up. Over.
I just one last thing. I was kind of wondering if you could, because I might not. I'm just a little kind of not familiar with list with email lists. So if you could maybe send an email to the list saying that I want to do an open book presentation. Hope maybe around 1:30 Central, which is 2:30 Central. I'm sorry, 2:30 Eastern. On Friday. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if it'll be possible on the next Monday. Yes, the next Monday of this next week coming up. Let me know if you can do that. I know that's a lot of work for you, but if it's not possible, I'll try to find a way to do that. Thanks a lot. Over.
I can do that. I would suggest giving everybody as much time as possible. Friday, I can put a message up today if you send me something off list that I can forward. The less time you give everybody, the less likely you are to get anybody to show up. I'd give at least 4 or 5 days. And as you've seen here, the afternoon doesn't seem to work real well. You can try it if you'd like and see if you have any better success. But, yeah, I'm certainly willing to do that. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be there. And I would love to be again if I have correct timings, as I've said earlier. Whenever you host another session, please write some sort of indication that I will be able to calculate my timings, please. Thank you. Over.
Yes, Rick. I was also. I don't know if you missed my last part of my message. I'll send you an email in a few minutes once we get off. And I'm thinking about doing it. Yeah, you're right. On Monday of. I'm sorry, Tuesday the next. At 6 p.m. Central. Which will be 7 p.m. Eastern. That'll be the next Tuesday. I'm sorry, yeah, that's it. Correct days, the next Tuesday of the next week. So a week from today, at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to try to host that. Oh, and I'll try if people are interested. And I might include my email and the message that I'm going to send to you so that it can be included in case there's a problem with certain people, or if I get enough time suggestions maybe a couple suggestions at one certain time, I get a few suggestions, maybe I can accommodate those. Over.
Okay, not a problem. I can do that. Just send me the information and I'll forward it. And Jitendra, yes, I will do that. Information is up on the Blind Geek Zone main page with the time, and I do put that in GMT. So hopefully we'll be able to catch you here next time. Next time is probably going to be in the evening, my time. Probably around 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, which would probably be about 0 hours GMT, which unfortunately probably for you would be about 5:30 in the morning, if I'm calculating times correctly. So I don't know that that would be good for you, but I am going to try an evening meeting next time. Somebody's sending me a message or something. All right. I'm going to wrap this up. One last comment from anybody, and I'll wrap this up. Thanks. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate everybody coming to this meeting. It was very productive, even though there were only five of us. I enjoyed it a lot. I hope everybody else here enjoyed it just as much. I will get the recording up on the website here in the next day or so for others that want to listen to it. And as I said, sometime next week we'll do another one in the evening, Eastern time, and hopefully we can get a little bit more participation. But again, thank you for everybody that showed up. And we'll do this again. Thanks. Over.
It was a lot of fun, Rick. I wanted to be a part of one of these. I saw there's a lot of accessible world. I'm sorry, and really didn't get a chance to be a part of some of these. So it was a lot of fun. Hopefully, we'll continue to have these. And like I said, maybe you can do a BGZ podcast like this. And I don't know if. Did you get my last question as far as me sending you a link with a podcast to via SendSpace or something like that? Let me know if that's possible with you before we close out. If not, I'll send you an email and we can chat amongst ourselves. That would be great. And I hope we have more of these. And it was a lot of fun. Over.
Yes, the SendSpace link will be just fine. Email me that off list, and I'll download the file, and I'll post it up here in the very near future. And I appreciate that.
No problem.
Okay, I'm out of here, everyone. If you guys want to chit-chat amongst yourselves, that's fine. Otherwise, I will see you next time. But thanks again for everybody that showed up, and we'll do this again soon. Thanks, and see you later.